Per in question period today, 11 minutes before 6 o'clock on the coast. Well, sitting still for an x-ray or a dentist's drill can be difficult for just about anybody. It's nearly impossible for some people with severe autism or other disabilities. They need to go to an operating room where they can be put under by a qualified anesthesiologist. The waits can be months long, and if you've ever had a bad toothache, you know waiting can feel like torture. We have been talking with families of adults with severe autism this week, and today we're going to hear from a dentist. Dr. Anita Gartner has a practice in Vancouver, and she joins us on the line now. Good afternoon to you, Dr. Gartner.
Hi, good afternoon, Stephen.
We have heard families say it is hard to find a dentist who will see adults with special needs. I know you're an exception to that trend, but why do you think dentists are so reluctant to take on these patients?
Well, I think a lot of it is exposure and maybe fear of the unknown, and then also the training that perhaps is available.
And when you say the training that is available, where is the training lacking?
Well, I think at our educational institutions initially, so that people actually are exposed to special needs individuals much earlier on in their careers. I think that would have an improvement. I trained as a pediatric dentist, and as part of my pediatric training was to look after and treat individuals with special needs, and I see exclusively children, but when it comes to special needs individuals, there's no age limit for me.
And had you not trained as a pediatric dentist, would you have been exposed to any training at all when it came to dealing with people with disabilities?
I know the educational process has changed since I'm not a young dentist anymore, so I can't really comment on what exists today. I know that in my training, I happened to do a general practice residency at Children's Hospital, so I was exposed there. But in general undergraduate training, there was very limited, if none, exposure when I went through dental school.
And why do you choose to see special needs patients?
I have a sister who is special needs. She has a genetic disease that has affected her. And subsequently, my mother has an autoimmune disease, which has also put her in a wheelchair. So I guess that's near and dear to my heart. And, you know, it's a wonderful thing to give back to the community and to look after families. It's a privilege to look after children no matter what age. And it's very fulfilling and rewarding.
And how difficult was it to find a dentist for your sister or your mother?
Well, ever since I was in dental school, I became their
dentist. Became their dentist.
And I've looked after them.
They're very lucky.
Yeah, they're lucky. But they don't have the same needs as the individuals that you were talking about, and specifically looking at young adults that have autism. So cognitively, they're very healthy, but physically, it's a challenge for them.
And treating people with special needs, do you make money doing that? Are your services, are those specific services in demand?
The reimbursement for government funded types of programs, whether they be for special needs or for healthy kids, reimbursement is about 50 cents on the dollar, approximately. So one never makes a lot of money off of that, considering my expenses probably run 70 cents on the dollar. So it's not necessarily that we're doing it for money's sake, but we're doing it because, you know, there's a great deal of satisfaction and people need to be looked after. As a dentist, you're a business person, but you're also a caregiver.
Right.
You need to make sure that that's in balance.
We hear about such things as lawyers who offer pro bono services to help people who can't afford the fees. Should dentists be expected to do the same?
I can't comment on my colleagues. I offer pro bono services and have worked with other colleagues to do the same, even in the field of general anesthesia when I've come across patients that are in need, and I've spoken with my anesthesiologist friends and asked them to help me out. They've been very willing. So, you know, I think it's just giving back to the culture and giving back and showing that you care about other people. But to legislate that, you know, that's difficult to do. But even having, even doing pro bono, my hands are often tied because I face long waiting lists. I used to have 4 days a month at Children's Hospital, and due to reducing waiting times, I now am given 4 days a year because children over the age of four are too old to be seen at Children's Hospital, let alone getting OR time where it's even more difficult to see adult patients.
So what happens if a five-year-old needs a dental surgery that requires a general anesthetic and needs to be done in hospital? They're no longer allowed to do it at Children's?
They are able to do it at private anesthetic clinics.
We've been hearing this week stories of people who have had to wait months because they've got infections in their mouths so they can get into an operating room so they can be put under and treated. It's hard to believe that the number of operating room hours has been cut back as severely as you said. What impact has that had on patients?
The average wait time for a person that I need to take to Children's Hospital, where they're either too young to be seen or they have other comorbidities and can't be seen at a private situation or in a private anesthetic clinic, is 6 months.
We asked Vancouver Coastal Health about exactly that, about wait times, and they turned down our request for an interview, but they did send us a statement that says that they acknowledge that there are long waits for dental care for clients who require treatment in an operating room. They say that they have quadrupled the operating room time, so wait times are now less than a year for non-urgent dental care.
Sorry, Stephen, that is true. Wait times used to be over a year, and they're down now 6 months. But I don't know that a person who's suffering from dental pain, that 6 months should be our standard or our goal. So I think we still need to have improvement, and certainly the BCDA has recognized that and has been working with different ministries to strive to actually improve those types of situations and also perhaps even think outside the box and how we manage our resources. For example, we're looking at different programs maybe to even see if we can actually treat patients in an outpatient setting as long as we can do that in a safe manner. And when we look at special needs individuals, you know, we need to be able to coordinate different people like medicine, dentistry, everything else that we need to take into consideration to make sure that they're being treated. Not only the dentistry is being delivered, but their medical management is appropriate.
Dr. Gardner, it's so good to hear from you this afternoon. Thank you for taking the time with us. We appreciate it.
Thank you very much, Stephen.
You take care. Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
That is Dr. Anita Gardner, a dentist in Vancouver. We did request, as I mentioned, an interview with the Ministry of Social Development and Social Innovation this week. We also requested an interview with Vancouver Coastal Health. Both declined the opportunity to speak with us. 3 minutes before 6 o'clock on the coast on CBC Radio 1. Robert Zimmerman here with some local news.